In the last week of Darby Crash's life, Germs played a reunion show at the Starwood Club in Hollywood, December 3rd, 1980. Outwardly, Crash said the show was to put punk in perspective for the new people on the scene. But behind closed doors, Crash expressed that he needed the show to get money so he could score enough heroin to kill himself. The Starwood was oversold, packed with people eager to relive the not-so-distant glory days. Germs were at times sharp, and at times familiar tornadoes. At one point, Crash looked out on the audience and told them, "We did this so you new people could see what it was like when we were around. You're not going to see it again."
Thank you. This was for people who wanted to see what it was like when we were around. Okay, this is the only one. You're not going to see it again.
When the final notes from the show died down, Darby Crash went in search of immortality. He purchased $400 worth of heroin. He sought a romantic undoing, one that people might talk about for years after he was gone, placing him on a level of infamy with Sid Vicious, a brief burst of mayhem, and then gone, off to have a face worn on t-shirts or old lyrics scrawled into skin. On December 7th, 1980, Crash and his friend Casey Cola made a pact to overdose on the heroin he'd purchased. They'd go out together, including her would add a layer of intrigue to the story. Crash injected Cola with the heroin first, and then himself. On a wall, he wrote a note to his band's bass player, David Bosco Danford. It read, "My life, my leather, my love goes to Bosco." Casey Cola did die, but only briefly. The police report said that her heart stopped for a few minutes in the middle of the night. When she woke on the morning of December 8th, she was in Darby Crash's arms. He was dead. It was the dramatic death of a charismatic person who spent a brief and influential time impacting the world. In another time, Crash would have gotten his wish. His death would have made him a legend. Someone who those he left behind would prop up to a wider and larger world who didn't know him. The single, full-length Germs album would be a holy grail of music history. But Darby Crash died on December 7th, 1980. By the time the news of his death began to circulate, it was well into December 8th. While Mark David Chapman paced outside of John Lennon's apartment with a record, Darby Crash was being pulled, lifeless, from a house. While word was spreading around the L.A. punk scene about Crash's death, Lennon was signing his name on his eventual killer's record. And while radio stations in Los Angeles began to start their marathon of Germ songs, John Lennon lay dying in New York at the doorway to his apartment. News and radio stations broke away to deliver what must have seemed like a larger, more urgent heartbreak.